Funds for the California Report are provided by Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URSCorp.com.
This is the California Report. I'm Scott Schaefer. Coming up, staying healthy during a sick economy. What Californians are doing or can do to weather the downturn.
I'm certainly feel the stresses of trying to keep my family of employees healthy together and working for their families.
Also, as the state's unemployment rate dips a bit, is the economy picking up steam or just running in place? And keeping your chin up and staying positive, even when your finances look grim.
They really need to get back to what's important to them, understanding that they can't do it all. You have to have an acknowledgement of your limitations and understand what's the most important to you.
All that plus happy hour for job seekers. It's a special health edition of the California Report. Well, it's becoming almost a ritual now, waiting for new unemployment numbers and looking for signs, any sign really, that the economy is recovering. Well, Friday morning, the state said California's unemployment rate had dipped a bit in October to 11.7%, down from 11.9% in September. For a look behind the numbers, we turn to Christopher Thornburg, founding partner of Beacon Economics based in Los Angeles. He likes what he sees in the job numbers, but he's more interested in other signs of economic growth.
And what I know from looking at, say, things like taxable sales, exports produced in the state, hotel activity, airport activity, is that California really started to grow at a fairly solid pace in the middle of this year. Even though the U.S. overall was slowing, California was definitely picking up some speed. And the employment numbers you're seeing now are definitely reflecting this. The state added something on the order of 25,000 payroll jobs from September to October. That's a healthy 2.2% annual pace. But even more important, they revised up the September numbers, and now it looks like between August and September, the state added about 40,000 jobs, which is a whopping 3.2% growth rate.
But Thornburg notes California still has a huge hole to get out of because we took a much bigger hit than the rest of the country at the start of the recession.
The good news is business spending starting to grow at a very solid pace. Exports, one of the strongest parts of the U.S. economy. What this means is while we obviously have a lot more to overcome than the U.S. overall, at the same time, the current trends show California actually growing faster than the U.S. overall.
But Thornburg concedes that's little solace for folks who've been unemployed for a long time now.
A lot of those folks, of course, were released from some of the sectors that were really the center of this, for example, construction. While we are adding construction jobs, the pace is way too slow to bring these people quickly back to work, and I don't see that changing. But most of the problem in unemployment has a lot to do with what I would call a skill mismatch. That is to say, the parts of the economy that are growing need higher skilled workers than those who are currently in that unemployed pool, if you will.
In a minute, how small businesses are feeling the pinch. But first, we asked unemployed Californians how the economic ditch we're in is affecting their health.
The last job I lost, I was laid off. Last one hired, first one fired. With the way the economy is, I see how, you know, they're cutting back on health insurance for, you know, single mothers and children. And I just try not to get hurt. And when I do need my medication, I'll take a trip to the hospital.
My mom works for Kaiser, so I'm insured under her, I think, until I'm 26, I believe. But I have a lot of friends that are uninsured, so I see what they have to go through, and it's like they debate about going to a doctor's visit, you know, because it's a few hundred dollars.
I was laid off because of the construction industry. I took advantage of the COBRA benefits and also advantage of collecting unemployment, which paid for the COBRA benefits, but that came to an end.
I read an article And it was a young doctor who's about 35 years old, and he's really smart. I forget, for some major school. And they asked him, you know, what's your recommendation if you get sick in America? What's the best way to handle it? And he goes, have a lot of money.
You know what? It doesn't make me feel good because I have to go through loopholes to get my medical needs met. So, I mean, I have different ways, and it gets to the point where I don't even like to tell other people because I don't want other people to know about the ways that I'm able to get easy access to medical use because it's so limited that I don't want anyone else. It's sad that I have to be like that.
That was Luis Marquez in Los Angeles. Before him, Richard Green in San Francisco, and Vince Tarkanian, Milou Arani, and Alvin Flores in Fresno. Well, behind every job, there's an employer, and many of them, especially small businesses, feel pressure to keep their doors open, in part because they feel an obligation to their workers. Earlier this week, I stopped by the office of Scott Haughey, president and founder of Small Business California. They advocate for small businesses. I asked him what he's hearing from them about how the economy is affecting health and health coverage in the recession.
Well, I think the first thing is Small Business California does an annual survey, and we've done this since 2005. And every year, health insurance has been the number one issue for small businesses in California. The economy has just made the situation all the worse when they're looking at double-digit increases.
And so how are businesses coping with that?
They take it in multi-phases. The first phase is they obviously go out and see if they can get comparable coverage, maybe moving insurance companies, that type of thing. The next thing they do is they start looking at increasing deductibles, increasing copays, those types of things. The third step is they pass on some of the cost to their employees. They can pass on up to 50% in a group program. The last step, and it doesn't happen very frequently, is they drop insurance.
San Francisco has Healthy San Francisco, which can affect employers. And then there's the Affordable Care Act, which is getting rolled in. How are those things affecting small businesses?
Well, the Healthy San Francisco is for 20 employees or more. So the majority of businesses are less than 20. As far as the ACA, the verdict is still out. What impact that's going to have? It's going to set up exchanges, which we hope will reduce the cost. There are tax credits. Interestingly enough, there was a study that just came out that showed that most small businesses are not aware, not taking advantage of those tax credits. At the end of the day, the thing that's most important is the ACA going to be able to drive down cost? Because if they don't drive down cost, everything is just a Band-Aid.
You've been in business a long time. Compared to other dips in the economy, how does this one compare?
This is the most severe. I've been in business since 1975. This is the most severe across the board decline that I've ever seen in the economy. And what's really interesting is when you look at some of the dips in the past and you look at retention of employees, small business usually holds their employees longer than the larger companies. That was not the case in this turndown.
Any thoughts about why?
It's just much deeper, and small businesses hang on as long as they can, and then they just reached a point that the revenues just couldn't sustain what they had.
That won't come as news to Janet Hildreth. She and her partner Christopher own Tree Lovers Floors, a hardwood flooring company based in San Francisco. Their business dropped about 25% during the recession, and they laid off about half their employees. As workers scraped and sanded wood planks, we talked in the warehouse about what she's had to do to keep afloat and continue offering health insurance benefits during the recession. I asked her how much her premiums have risen.
Well, last year, my increase on my current policy was up for 19% overall.
For 1 year?
For 1 year.
And what do you do when you get a rate increase like 19%? I mean, your income isn't going up 19%, so how do you adjust? What do you do?
I've just been lucky enough so far to have been able to basically hop around from insurance company to insurance company and get a decent rate.
What else do you do to, you know, kind of make it work? Do you go for a higher deductible or a catastrophic plan? I mean, what's the sort of the range of things you've considered to keep the costs affordable to you?
Well, actually, that's a timely question because my health care renews in January. So I did do a little calling around. I spoke with my insurance broker, and she said that right now my current plan may only go up 3 to 5%. So if that's the case, I'm going to keep that great plan.
What if that doesn't happen?
Well,
what if the increase is higher?
If the increase is higher, then for the first time, I will have to have a significantly less plan for my employees. It will be closer to catastrophic.
So, in other words, much higher deductible.
It'll probably go from $500 to $2,500 per member.
And of course, as an employer, you want your employees to be healthy.
Of course, that's the number one thing.
I'm sure that with a business this size, that the employees are almost like family in some cases. What do you know about them and the families that they have and the struggles that they've gone through in this economy?
Well, they are extremely resilient. They are our family. We've had them all here for 8 to 10 years. It was so hard to lay them off in 08. And I know that they really struggle. They work so hard. And to see them just coming to work every day and not getting their full pay, yet managing, is really, you know, heartfelt. They're struggling. There are a lot of people out there that are struggling, and it's interesting that you bring up how the mental stress that everyone is undergoing right now. I'm certainly feel the stresses of trying to keep my family of employees healthy together and working for their families. And I know that there's a lot of other small businesses out there who are feeling the same way.
A turnaround in the economy can't come too fast.
No, it can't.
Janet Hildreth of Tree Lovers Floors, and before her, Scott Hauge with Small Business California. Keeping your health coverage during a recession is tough. No job, no insurance. But part of implementing the Affordable Care Act, the health reform legislation signed by President Obama, involves creating state exchanges for health insurance plans that are portable, not tied to work. As health reporter Sarah Varney explains, here in California, the exchange will look a lot like the public health insurance plan that died in Congress last year.
In a cavernous room in a nondescript office park in Alameda, an army of phone operators fields calls from their customers. A large computer screen blanks the number of people on hold. Right now it's just two. And the average wait time, 1 minute and 12 seconds.
Do you live with your mother? Are you a dependent of your mother?
These phone operators work for a large health plan, and they're willing to go the extra mile for their customers. They'll schedule a doctor to come to your home, a pharmacist to drop off a prescription, and they'll even help you fill out an application for food stamps.
We do things from them that a traditional commercial health plan doesn't do.
Ingrid Lamoureux is CEO of the Alameda Alliance for Health. It's a county-run health insurance plan that covers some 200,000 people in Oakland and the East Bay. Some of its customers are on Medicaid, others work for the county. But in 2014, when the newly constructed health benefit exchange opens as part of the federal health law, it'll be like an online superstore for health insurance. Lamoureux wants to compete for your business, too.
I think that when some people get to make a choice, having local offices that they can walk into and get help with things and get their questions answered, and when they call the customer service, someone answers within 2 minutes, those kinds of things are important to them.
Of the 4 million people expected to purchase health insurance on the exchange, many will likely qualify for a government subsidy. These low and moderate income consumers, most of whom are currently uninsured, will be able to choose between, let's say, Anthem Blue Cross, Health Net, or in some counties, a public plan. Anthony Wright of the consumer advocacy group Health Access pushed lawmakers to include the public plans on the exchange.
Some of these folks who are closer to the poverty line may have already been in these public plans previously. And so it made sense that this might be actually a good environment for them to be an option and for people to continue their care with them even as they move up the income ladder.
California is unique in the nation for having county-run public health insurance plans. The plans stretch from San Francisco to the Inland Empire and cover some 2.5 million residents. Their members are seen by doctors at public health clinics and public hospitals, but most counties also contract with large, privately owned physician groups. They even share the same lobbying group as the big publicly traded insurance companies. But some of those companies, says Wright, fought to keep the public plans out of the exchange.
Certainly there are some health plans that didn't like the idea of having to compete with these public plans, especially ones that have coming out of the Medicaid program are used to providing care at a cheaper rate.
Indeed, Anthem Blue Cross urged lawmakers to bar public plans from the new online marketplace. The company lost that fight, and most county governments expect to compete for the vast new pool of customers. Other private insurers welcome the competition, so long as the playing field is equal. Many doctors and hospitals accept dirt cheap rates from public plans as part of their charity care, which keeps premiums low. But private plans don't get the same deal.
It's important to remember that in 2014, I think it's not going to necessarily be the case that we'll be paying these low rates.
Sumi Souza of the San Francisco Health Plan says when the exchange opens in 2014, the public plans will have to pay doctors and hospitals more since some of their customers won't qualify under the old definition of charity care. And Souza says the utopian ideal that public plans automatically cost less just doesn't pencil out.
Some commercial providers, because they're so large, they're able to spread their costs over a much broader network because they have a lot more commercial business. So it's a little bit different for a smaller plan like us.
Still, the public plans have low overhead and pay lower salaries. But their other advantage may simply be consumer disgust with the health insurance brands they're familiar with. I met Kim Burke at a cafe in San Francisco's hip SoMa district. She's 50-ish with fiery red hair and funky green glasses and teaches at an art school nearby, a job that doesn't come with health insurance. For the last several years, Burke has paid a low monthly premium for coverage in San Francisco's public health plan. She says when the exchange opens and she can't be denied for pre-existing conditions, she'll gladly stick with the public plan.
I applied to four different insurance companies, all of which denied me for pre-existing conditions. So I'm not really too keen on purchasing their product since they've already denied me care when I really wanted it.
For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
On an upcoming show, we'll be featuring stories of tradition, and we want to hear about yours. If there's something you do to celebrate the season, remember a loved one, or mark the passing of another year, tell us about it by going to californiareport.org. Look for the link to the Public Insight Network. Even in the best of times, the stress of everyday life can be too much, balancing family with work, eating right, and getting enough exercise, and so on. But add to that a terrible economy, and it's easy to see how some folks just sink under the pressure. And so for a look at the mental health ramifications of this terrible economy, we turn to Dr. Mason Turner. He's the chief of psychiatry at Kaiser Permanente in San Francisco and an assistant director of regional mental health care here in the Bay Area. Dr. Turner, good to see you.
Great. Thanks for having me back.
Talk, if you would, about the stages that people go through, beginning with just the general anxiety and stress of falling behind in your bills, not being able to pay the rent on time, those kinds of things, through worrying about losing your job and then actually losing it. I mean, what are the stages, the mental health issues that come up during those different points?
Well, it's been very interesting because, you know, we're now a full 3 years into this recession and many people are having difficulty spanning over the last, you know, 3 or even 4 years. And so we're really seeing a progression, if you will, a maturation of how people are responding to this. It's become chronic in nature, and the initial responses that we sometimes see where people may feel worried and afraid about their immediate future have now moved into, you know, what am I going to do for the next 5 years, the next 6 years? How is this going to affect me down the road?
You, of course, focus on the mental health part of this, but it's very much tied with physical health as well. What do you see? What do you look for?
Absolutely. So if you think about someone who's just lost his or her job and is having a very difficult time making those ends meet, perhaps they're working several part-time jobs. Perhaps they're not able to sleep very well at night. Maybe they're not able to attend all of their family and other obligations. And what happens there is that gradually their bodies begin to respond. Maybe their immune system is not as good as it was before. Maybe because of a lack of sleep, they begin to notice they're not taking as good care of themselves, not exercising as much, those types of things. So we really see a really strong correlation between the mental health and the physical health issues.
And what does that lead to then?
That can lead to all kinds of problems. So someone who's been, you know, say, exercising 30, 45 minutes a day, keeping up with that, was able to get to work and maybe keep up a gym membership or something along those lines, they lose their job. They're unable to go out and do those things that they were doing before. Maybe they gain weight. Maybe their diabetes gets more poorly controlled. Those types of situations we start to see with some frequency. And then we start to see physical health declining, which of course just compounds the problem.
And of course, if you lose your insurance when you lose your job or you can't afford the COBRA to continue that, you're going to put off seeing a doctor, right, until you're sicker.
Absolutely. It's not at all uncommon that I'll hear a story from a patient that goes something like, well, I was taking two pills of my antidepressant every day, but I knew I was going to lose my insurance, so I've cut down to a half a day. Doesn't seem to be doing the trick, but I can't afford to get any more medication, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen when I lose my insurance.
I would think also that as it goes on, as the unemployment goes on, the prospects dim, and all these things happen, that it also makes it harder then to look for work because you become depressed or you don't feel good about yourself.
Exactly. And what I always tell patients when they're in a kind of a chronic unemployment situation and they're looking for work, part of looking for a job is being able to sell yourself. Think of the positive aspects that you bring to the job market and really try to sell those things and emphasize them. With chronic unemployment, chronic financial problems, it becomes harder to connect with that part of yourself that you feel really proud of, and really to improve your self-esteem becomes much more difficult.
What advice would you have for somebody who's in one of these situations where they've lost their job, they've been unemployed for a long time, and you know, maybe they have access to care, maybe they don't? What can they do for themselves? What can friends and family do for them or with them to, you know, get them through this?
One of the most important pieces of advice I have for anyone who's going through these kinds of financial situations is that they really need to get back to what's important to them, understanding that they can't do it all. You have to have an acknowledgement of your limitations and understand what's the most important to you. Maybe it is going out and looking for that job. Maybe it's not. But really an understanding of what's important to you, what relationships are important to you, and really maximizing those and concentrating on what is really brings you joy and gets you up in the morning. So that's the first piece of advice I give anyone in these kinds of situations. The next piece of advice is really to map out a plan. Sit down, take a few hours, sit with a family member, a trusted friend, someone who can really guide you through what you need to do to start looking for work, find a job, get the treatment if you need it, what are some of the calls you need to make, and that type of thing.
Anything you want to add about any of this?
Well, I think what's important to add from my perspective is that help is available. And if you feel completely overwhelmed, if you feel like you're completely held hostage by your anxiety and depression, please reach out and get help because it is available to you.
All right. Mason Turner is the chief of psychiatry at Kaiser Permanente in San Francisco. Dr. Turner, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
As Mason Turner just explained, looking for work these days can seem futile, aggravating, downright depressing. And losing your job can leave you feeling cut off from that social network you had with your former coworkers. But the unemployed can find a little solace being around others in the same situation. From Los Angeles, Roger Rudick has that story.
On a recent Monday night in the bar at the Culver City Hotel, a group meets for happy hour drinks and conversation.
I set up this meetup because there are a lot of people out there who are unemployed, and they need support. They need to know that they're not alone.
Dani Zandell, 34, lost her job as an administrator at a car dealership almost a year ago. Financial hardships aside, she found herself isolated and depressed.
Our work tends to identify us, and so when you don't have a job title behind you, it takes just a little bit off of your confidence to walk into a room and be around other people.
So Zandell set up a social group for people who are frustrated by the tough hunt for work in today's economy. Amy Hirschman, 30, lost her job at a Japanese newspaper. She'd like to take this time to launch an internet startup, but economic realities make that tough.
To get health insurance these days, you have to work for a corporation 9 to 5.
And that speaks to a catch-22 when it comes to the unemployed. Losing one's job weighs heavily on the soul, and for some people, that can lead to clinical depression. But no job often means no health insurance. Fortunately, there is help. Jason Robinson is program director at the Self-Help and Recovery Exchange, SHARE for short, in Culver City. They have a support group for the unemployed.
psychologically and emotionally, knowing people and sharing your experience with people as you're going through it is critical.
Robinson says if you're unemployed, it's important to find people who are a year or two ahead in their job search. So, hopefully, you see that even the grimmest situations can improve.
I was involved in a car accident, and my son passed away in the accident. It took me a long time to come back from that.
Cheryl Carter was a successful publicist until that accident rendered her emotionally unable to work. She started attending meetings at Share. It was grueling, but despite the recession, she eventually found a new career and a job in social work. People like Carter, says Robinson, are an inspiration to the newly unemployed.
It becomes a lot less fearful of, okay, you know, I've lost my job, now I'm going to have to downsize a little bit. But they see people make that transition so that if they have to make that transition, they have some confidence that they're going to be able to weather it.
But what about folks who can't weather it? The severity of the recession is pushing more and more people into that category, says psychiatrist Ian Cook, director of the UCLA Depression Program.
You know, my get up and go has gotten up and left. I can't push myself to even to pick up the phone and make a call to try to get another interview. I just want to sleep all day, pull the covers over my head, and I think about, gee, maybe I would be better off if I weren't alive. Most psychiatrists, most mental health practitioners in general would say you would meet the criteria.
Cook's work is funded by a federal grant.
Many people in Los Angeles have found themselves both unemployed and uninsured at the same time. They've often come to us to participate in one of our projects where they get care.
Most people, fortunately, do not require medical intervention. For them, Cook agrees with Robinson. Social contact is key. Back at the Culver City Happy Hour, Zandel and the others exchange words of encouragement in their job searches.
It takes time, and sometimes that's the hardest part, but don't lose hope.
Amy Hirschman nods. She's the woman who lost her job at the Japanese newspaper. Like everyone else at the table, she sends out resumes every day. In the meantime, the camaraderie keeps her going.
Good luck on searching for work.
For the California Report, I'm Roger Rudick in Los Angeles.
That's our show for this week, but before we go, we'd like to see what captures your imagination these days. With so many interesting people and places, California is a virtual playground for photographers. Share your photos of the Golden State with us, and you could win an iPad. We're looking for photos that best reflect the phrase, only in California. To find out more, visit californiareport.org and look for the link to Only in California. And that is the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our director is Susie Rocho. Seal Muller is our technical producer, with additional engineering by Dan Bringer and Howard Gelman. The senior online editor is Gabriel Cohen, with help from David Marks. Our interns are Bridget Bodner, Rigoberto Hernandez, and Rebecca Wolfson. We had production help from Jefferson Beavers. Our senior editor this week is Polly Stryker. Our producer is Victoria Maleone. Executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar. SunPowerSolar.com.